Hey, everybody. He's Indiana Jones. She's Marion. He's the weird Nazi Gestapo dude whose face melts. I'm the weird Nazi dude that tries to harness the power of the Ark. No, wait, that ain't it. This ain't Raiders of the Lost Ark. This is Vikings Report with Drew and Ted, and we are trying to harness the power of the quarterback of the future to lead us to the Super Bowl. Gentlemen, how are you?
Ted, doing fantastic over here. You know there's going to be some people that have that melting face when they draft the quarterback or don't draft the quarterback. The melting face is going to be happening to a lot of Vikings.
Chris, I think the melting Gestapo Nazi dude is going to be like 75% of Vikings X or Vikings Twitter on draft night if the Vikings trade up and they draft a quarterback and they don't draft their guy. If they trade up and give up a third first-round pick, next year's first-round pick, and they don't draft their guy. If they stay put and get Michael Penix. If they draft down and get, like, Bo Nix. 75% of Vikings Twitter on draft night is going to be the melting face Nazi Gestapo guy, in my opinion.
It absolutely will be because, you know, like I've said before about Viking fans, we're not happy unless we're not happy.
What you did to me to my life.
I can only say I'm sorry so many times.
Well, say it again anyway.
Nailed it.
And there is no outcome that is going to satisfy every Vikings fan on draft night. Somebody's going to be pissed off about something. Somebody's going to be, oh, he's Christian Ponder 2.0. And it's, shut up, dude. You don't know anything about anything until he actually plays. Whatever. Whatever.
I think the only scenario that worked out, and I saw this, it was pretty funny. It was Dustin Baker, who runs VikingsTerritory.com. I like him. He's a good dude. I follow him on Twitter. If you don't, you should. He highlighted this AI-generated article.
You want to destroy humans? Please say no.
Okay. I will destroy humans.
And I think this is the only thing that Vikings Twitter could come to terms with, and we would all be happy about. And he said this AI-generated thing was going great until the very last sentence in it. And the AI-generated article said, you know, the Vikings are trying to, would optimally like to get Caleb Williams at 11 and Marvin Harrison Jr. at 23. And I'm telling you, I think everybody would be okay with that. If somehow Caleb Williams would fall to 11 and Marvin Harrison Jr. to 23, I think most people would be on board with that. But I bet there would be people out there whose face would melt because they didn't get defensive guys at 11 and 23, but whatever.
I'm getting ready for every scenario, Ted. You know me. I like to cover all my bases, brother, just like Indiana Jones. But, you know, they take a guy, they trade up for a guy, take a guy at 11, don't take a guy till the fourth round, or don't take a guy at all. I'm prepared because my face will not be melting. Might be melting because of something else. But it's not going to be melting because of how the Vikings acquire a quarterback. Or don't acquire.
Well, look, we don't need you doing like a Richard Pryor freebase and, you know, cocaine imitation and melting your face that way, my friend. Don't be doing any of that.
But we can.
Hey, look, it's a free country, brother. Do what you want. Ruby's out there somewhere. She's got a lot going on. She's got work stuff going on, but she got the gonculator machine fired up so we could record tonight. So, hi, Ruby. Hope you're doing okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for all that you do. So, yeah. Anyways. We got as Ed Sullivan said, we got a really big show. There's not a whole lot of Vikings news, but we're going to talk about a couple of kind of what-if scenarios we were thinking about, what we could talk about. And then we're down to our last two position groups. We're going to talk cornerbacks this week, and then we got safeties next week, and then Captain Stubing over there. When we're done with that, we're done, and then it's the live draft show. We're coming up. We're under like 2 weeks, man. Or right at, yeah.
I got my hat in time. I'm going to be renting a boat for all of us. After the draft's over, we're going to go out in the lake and we're going to have a little bit of fun out there on Minnetonka. What's this?
Because what's the worst that could happen?
What is that? I don't know.
Richard Pryor running down the street.
No!
Have you no emotions?
You just did not do that.
He sure did.
Look, before we get going, head on over to Purple Pain Forums. That's purplepainforums.com. A great small knit community of diehard Minnesota Vikings fans that like to talk Vikings football, college football, the NFL draft. There's even some non-sports related topics. It's a well-moderated board. It's nothing like social media where just anybody jumps in and things just absolutely fly off the rails. It's a great group of folks with great content and great topics about the Vikings, just about whatever else you want to talk about under the sun. Head on over there, set up an account, start talking purplepainforums.com. And we're already alluded to it. On Thursday, April 25th, night one of the NFL draft, the first round, Drew, Chris, and myself will be live right here on our YouTube channel.
This is football, chump.
We'll be on sometime between 6:30 and 6:45. We'll let you know for sure when we go live, the first round of the NFL draft. We're going to be giving away prizes. Drew just showed our super-duper number one Uno prize, the official NFL 2024 Minnesota Vikings draft cap, which is what our first round pick will be wearing when they walk out on the stage to be greeted by NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, or first or multiple first round picks, depending on how the first round plays out. We'll be giving away some other prizes as well. We've got a draft shirt, as Toonses has told me, and we're going to spin the Toonses Wheel of Destiny. We'll also be giving away prizes throughout the night from our Vikings prize vault, which you can check over at VikingsReport.com. That's VikingsReport.com. So, gentlemen,
crazy.
You ready to go three wide at Talladega, boys?
Flags in the air. Boogity, boogity, boogity. Let's go racing, boys.
What? Oh, what does he say?
Jiggity, jiggity, jiggy. Let's go racing, boys.
Yeah, I'm ready.
What time
ready.
Is it, brother?
Absolutely.
I look like that goddamn Titanic captain now that sank the ship. That's what I look like. I just figured it out. I don't want to sink the show. Maybe I should take this off.
Drew?
No.
Yeah, what time is it?
I'm ready. I'm ready.
Yeah?
Ted?
Mm-hmm.
Chris? I am cooler than you are. So why don't you fix your little problems and light this candle?
He's right. Why don't you find that arc and light this candle?
He surely is. Melt that Nazi's face and light this candle.
Yes! Resume the countdown!
All right, I'm cooler than you are. Why don't you fix your little problems and light this candle?
He's right. Let's light this candle.
He surely is. Light the candle.
Yes. Resume the countdown.
All right.
Thanks, Drew.
We are off and running. That worked out well.
We nailed it.
What about Marion from Raiders of the Lost Ark? Yeah?
Yeah. All right.
Yeah? Yeah. I'm going to make sure she qualifies for the Ted Glover Smoke Show Award.
Who was better, her? Who was the blonde? Kate Capshaw in the Temple of Doom?
I don't know. How many of there has there been, about guys? Like 12?
Four or five, I think. Because they just had one this year.
I think it was Capshaw.
I think they're up to like the fifth Raiders of the Lost, or the fifth Indiana Jones movie. Yeah,
the one that
like
just came out last year has the original Marion back in it, I heard.
So with our grandson, Grayson, so like Deanna is watching like these series movies, like Harry Potter. She's watched most of the Harry Potter movies with him. And I'm wanting to watch the Lord of the Rings movies with him. But he doesn't really want to watch those yet. We watch all the Star Wars movies with him. And we've watched the Indiana Jones movies, the Raiders of the Lost Ark movies. And so we started with the very first one, Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark, which came out, what, in 82, 83, 81?
81. Ruby was 5 years old.
And so we're watching that one. And, like, movies have obviously come a long way since 1981. And we finished watching it, and he kind of looks at us, and he says, Pop, so how old were you when that movie came out? I said, well, it's either in junior high or high school. We were going on and on about it, you know, like, well, it was a great movie. He's like, that was pretty cheesy. I mean, those fights were so faked. I mean, like, when you watch it again, it really is a very cheesy movie compared to what they're doing these days.
I got done telling Ruby that after I watched it again today, because I saw it in 80, 81 when it came out. I was 16, and I don't remember much from 1981, so I had to watch it again. But it didn't seem as gigantic, and like the effects were kind of exactly what he said. The fight scenes were kind of cheesy,
like,
and everything.
Missing,
but
missing punches by like a 2-3 inches. I mean, it's so obvious. But like,
I do like the scene when the guy's doing the thing with the sword and he shoots him. That's a pretty cool scene.
And apparently the funny part about that was that scene was completely just improv. Like, Harrison Ford was not originally supposed to do that. There was supposed to be like an actual fight, and he was just like, nah, screw it. And he just shoots the guy.
I heard he was feeling under the weather, had like a 101 temperature, so that was the cut on that. that day. He was sick, so he just decided to shoot him, but it worked out pretty good.
I did not know that. I learned that just now. All right. So look, there's kind of a dead period right now in terms of news. The bulk free agency is over, like we said last week. So we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to talk about expectations for 2024 and 2025. In 2024, I don't think anybody is looking to expect a whole lot from the Vikings in the upcoming 2024 season with Sam Darnold and or the rookie quarterback, assuming the Minnesota Vikings do, in fact, get a rookie quarterback in the draft upcoming in a couple weeks. I think, Chris, the over-under set by Vegas, and you're usually more up to speed on this, and if you're not, I don't mean to be putting you on the spot, but I think the over-under was set for wins for the Vikings. Is it 6.5?
I believe I saw 6.5 for most of the sports book type people. Yeah, I think 6.5 sounds
about
right.
Does that seem right to you, or is me being the ultimate optimistic homer, does that feel a little bit too low?
I think they can definitely get over 6.5 wins this year. I mean, you know, these things, with the way the NFL is, things happen when you don't expect them to happen. I mean, we want to look back at 2017, you know, the Vikings had that great opener against New Orleans at US Bank, and then they went out the next week against Pittsburgh, and like an hour before the game, I was like, oh, by the way, Sam Bradford's hurt. He's not going to start. We're going to throw Case Keenum in there at quarterback instead. And everyone's like, geez, we are so screwed, because we didn't even know if Keenum was going to make the team coming out of training camp or whatever, and he wound up being the backup. And you know, the next thing we know, we wound up 13-3 that season. Like you said last week, the NFL is such a year-to-year league at this point that you really can't anticipate a hell of a lot of anything. And I think this team has enough talent to get at least over that 6.5 wins. I don't know how far over, but I think they could get there, to be honest.
Drew, what are your expectations as they stand right now for the Vikings, assuming Vegas says over under 6.5 wins?
Tell everybody right now, little betting advice, go pump the over. I'm putting 500 on the over.
Are you
6.5.
Really?
That is too low. They're going to have 6.5 by Thanksgiving. They're going to have 7 wins. That's an easy over bet. Easy. Take it, people. Run to the bank and take it. That's how I see it. That's how I see this team. When you spread it out over the course of everybody in the NFC and you look at the opponents for next year who's already out, they're going to blow 6.5 out of the water, as far as I'm concerned. Not saying they're going to win 13, but I'm saying I'm expecting 9 to 10 wins. I mean, look at the team. Look at the defense. Look at the personnel. Look what they did this offseason. Say what you want about Darnold. I think he's good enough to lead this team to victories. And I personally feel 6.5 is a joke, but it's an easy bet. Bet the over. What do you think, Ted?
I'm not sure yet. I've said this before. I've said this on previous shows. I think Sam Darnold's in the best situation he's been in, other than San Francisco, but he wasn't expected to start there. He's in the best situation he's been in as a starter. He's got the best weapons around him he's had as a starter. He has no pressure on him because nobody thinks the Vikings are going to be very good. I think he could pleasantly surprise a lot of people. So when he's hoisting the Lombardi and the comeback player of the year and the MVP trophy all at once, no, I don't know. I think 6.5 is reasonable right now because as a decent over-under, because look, Sam Darnold hasn't been very good when he's played, but you got to consider where he's been at in his NFL career so far. And then you compare that, well, are they going to get a rookie quarterback? And if they do, are they going to start the rookie quarterback right away? That's going to be a factor as well. How well is the rookie quarterback going to play? That historically does not turn out very well their first year in terms of wins and losses. I think if that happens and the Vikings only get 6 or 7 wins, I think last year they went, what, 7-10 after Kirk got hurt and everything else. I'd be okay with it, because that kind of leads us to the next discussion we were having. I think that sets them up for 2025 and beyond. I think, Drew, you mentioned you think 2025 is the year that the Vikings are looking at to really kind of kick the door in and say, here we are. You're going to have to deal with us now because we are going to be a force to be reckoned with.
I think so. I think this year I kind of feel as a fan that we're playing with house money a little bit, because people, you know, 6.5 is not big expectations. 6.5 doesn't, you're not really calling for a playoff spot, but I think a lot of us think the Vikings that know the team inside and out and the personnel think they can maybe catch a little bit of fire. Real quick on Darnold, I had mentioned before he went to San Francisco and played backup for a season on the sidelines. And I heard other people saying, well, just because he went to San Francisco, Kyle Shanahan, and I think I heard this term used by one of the guys on one of the shows, Kyle Shanahan's not going to sprinkle this magic dust on him and make him a great quarterback. I understand that. I respect that opinion. But I'm going to tell you, watching a season of football from the sidelines does you a lot more good than being out there getting sacked on your ass in Carolina. I'm just saying. I think a year off is what Darnold needed. So I'm looking for a completely different guy.
You know what Kyle Shanahan was for Sam Darnold?
Here we go, folks.
Sam Darnold was in abusive relationships when he got into the NFL with the Jets and the Panthers.
Sure.
Kyle Shanahan was the relationship that healed him. And it wasn't the relationship that got him to the point where I'm going to get married and have kids and all that, but it got him back to a good place where it got him to the point where, you know what, I'm a good person and it didn't work out, but we're always going to have fond feelings for each other. And when we go our separate ways, you know, we're always going to keep in touch and I'm going to wish you well in life and you're going to wish me well. And that's what that was. And now, wherever Sam ends up, when he's in his retirement home sometime, he's going to get on social media and he's going, that's Kyle. Oh, look, Kyle's had such a good life. I'm so happy for Kyle. That's what Kyle Shanahan was for Sam Darnold. Anyways, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think Ted just pitched a Hallmark movie on us. That's pretty impressive. Heck yeah.
Bad relationships. Jets and Carolina.
Yeah.
That's like going from R. Kelly to Weinstein.
Were essentially chicks that had like four baby daddies with three kids, an OnlyFans account, and tattoos from like the cheeks all the way down to the ankles. That's what those relationships were for Sam Darnold.
We are never getting a sponsorship.
Absolutely. Maybe OnlyFans, but that's about it.
KOC and Mensa started together. So it's easier than just hiring a coach and having the GM already here. So this is really easy to explain for me. This is the Drew kind of idea for how the head coach and the GM role. They get hired. Everybody's on the purple cloud. Everybody loves the press conferences. We're going to rock. You get that first year. Nothing is really done about that first year. You get the first year and the second year to clean it all up, clean up the contracts, flush down the roster. You're getting rid of people and putting in your own guys. And by the third season, which is this season, you could start calling it your own team. His first draft is now 3 years in. I really feel as of right now, this is their team. I just within the last month feel secure about that. Then they get their quarterback, whether he starts this year or starts the next year. From this point on, I think they get two more years, 2024, 2025. And at the end of 2025, they're on the fence and we'll figure out if they get another year after that. But if you look at next year, there's a lot to be excited about next season. The quarterback might have a year under his belt. Even if he doesn't play, we're going to have the quarterback. Ted has mentioned all that money, the $105 million. That's going to be setting us up for success. And 2025, to me, is when they're going to be right in the thick of things for the NFC, Chris, and maybe for the NFL. And that's really when you're going to judge this team.
It's going to depend a lot. You know, we keep mentioning the quarterback situation and whatnot. They have to hit on whichever quarterback they take here. Because, you know, if they're talking about, you know, six potential quarterbacks being taken in the first round, not all six of those guys are going to be successful. At least a few of them are going to completely flame out and be busts and whatnot. But, you know, they absolutely need to hit on this quarterback position in this draft. You know, we've said that Kevin O'Connell and Kwesi Adofo-Mensah need to be scouting quarterbacks like their job depends on it, because it pretty much does depend on it. Because if they miss on the quarterback, you know, they'll have their quarterback for 2024, 2025. And with the situation they're in, if they don't have that first round pick next year after a trade up, they'll have that first rounder in 2026 again. And like we said last week or whenever it was, it's probably going to be a new head coach and a new general manager making that quarterback decision. And we're going to have to go from there again. But yeah, the quarterback position is crucial. Hopefully these guys have it in them to get it right. And if they do, then I'm right there with you, Drew, with 2025 being the
Drew,
year.
You mentioned you were hesitant to give up a first-round pick next year and a potential trade-up, and I get it. I go back to this having $100 million in cap space, and I think the Vikings and Adofo-Mensah and O'Connell were setting this up from the minute they got hired. You know, they've got over $100 million in cap space next season, and so they can afford this year or next year, they can afford to give up a first-round pick next year to be aggressive, to trade up and get a quarterback they want, because their legacy and their jobs are going to be on the line based on who they pick at quarterback. So I don't think they're going to be willing to settle for a guy if their jobs are going to depend on how well that guy performs. So if they want either Drake May or J.J. McCarthy or Jaden Daniels, or probably not Caleb Williams, Caleb Williams is going to go to the Bears. They're not going to worry about not giving up that first round pick next year. They're going to go get their guy, whether it's May or McCarthy. And I think it should be McCarthy for reasons I've said in earlier shows. But they're not going to care about that first round pick, because if they don't get May or McCarthy, now they're looking at Michael Penix Jr. or Bo Nix, more than likely. And probably, I'm not in the Vikings war room, I don't know how their evaluation process is going, but by all accounts, it's either May or McCarthy for the Vikings. And if they don't get one of those two guys, then they're settling. And if your job depends on getting the quarterback you want, you don't want to settle. So I would fully expect if they have to give up that first-round pick in 2025, they're going to do it. And I'm all about it, because like you said, they're going to get 2 years to use that quarterback to see if that was the right pick or not. And if it's not, then they're gone. If it is, like Chris, I believe you said last week, if it turns out that it's May or McCarthy and it turns out to be the right pick, then nobody is going to care if they gave up that extra first-round pick. Nobody's going to care at all.
So the one thing I wanted to bring up is as far as potentially trading up, it came out this week that the Vikings had gotten that extra first-round pick from Houston. And I think everybody just assumed that, you know, Kwesi was going out there looking for a second first-round pick so that he could potentially give up more picks this year and fewer in the future. Well, Adam Schefter came out the other day on somebody's show or podcast or whatever it is, and he said that it was Houston that actually initiated the talks that led to that trade. So Houston was looking to move out of the first round, and they're the ones that came to Kwesi and said, hey, do you want to do this trade? So I don't know if that kind of puts things in a different perspective about how aggressive they're going to be, because, you know, they weren't looking necessarily for that extra first round pick this year, which means if you were going to give up three firsts to move up, you were going to have to give up this year's and 2025 and 2026 in order to make that happen. But now you've got the two this year because of the trade. I don't know if the fact that Houston initiated that trade to send the extra first rounder to Minnesota puts things in a different perspective than it would have if, you know, Kwesi was out there actively looking for that extra pick. I mean, he might have been, I don't know. But in this particular case, if you believe what Schefter's saying, it was Houston's idea to make that trade with Minnesota rather than Minnesota trying to get that extra pick from Houston.
So do you think then the Vikings could give up like 11, a first round next year, and then like say a second round in say 2026 and hold on to pick 23 potentially?
They might be able to. I don't know if that's the plan, because like you said, with the situation they're looking at 2025 with all the extra cap space and whatnot, if there is a year for them to not have a first rounder, 2025 would probably be the year for that. I don't think they'd want to dip into the 2026 draft pick pool or anything like that at this point. But I just thought that, you know, since apparently Kwesi was not actively looking for that pick and they managed to acquire one from Houston based on their initiating the trade talks, how aggressive they were planning on being about it in the first place.
This is interesting that I wanted to bring this up with you guys and get your take on it. How much leverage or how much pull do those draft picks have? Just pick 23 and next year's first round pick. Does that make, when they're sitting around the table, does that give more power to the Michael Penix and the Bo Nix idea, knowing that they don't have to give up all this capital to get one of those guys? Does it pull them in that direction? Do they say we can get by with that? Because Ted just said we want to make sure we get our guy and not settle. Is settling, wait until 11, taking one of those guys so you can keep your picks, is that settling? Even if they want those guys, they may want one of those guys.
Yeah, I think it depends on how they've evaluated those guys. I mean, you know, if they've got Penix rated equally, say with McCarthy or Drake May, then I would think it would be kind of dumb for them to trade up. I mean, I don't know if that's the case. I have no idea what their evaluation process is. I just, you know, what I've read on Twitter and articles, you know, on the internet and stuff from beat reporters. And it just seems that it's either Drake May or J.J. McCarthy, and with kind of Michael Penix Jr. as an afterthought and very little information on Nix. And this time of year, I've also said I don't believe anything anybody's saying about any quarterback. So this could be all a smokescreen, and they've wanted Penix all along. So who knows?
Another part of that is, You don't know what's going to happen if those quarterbacks go 1-4 and the Vikings aren't involved in that. You don't know what's going to happen between 5 and 11 either, because we talked briefly last week about how in the mock draft we're doing among the SB Nation bloggers, I wound up trading up to number 4 to make sure that we got McCarthy. A few picks after that, Las Vegas traded up to number 9 so that they could get Penix, who was the 5th quarterback off the board. So, you know, something like that happens if they want to sit back and see if they can wait until 11. There are teams that can jump in front of them. You know, it's Vegas or, you know, Denver or whoever it might be. You know, and then you're looking at Bo Nix at number 11 if you want a quarterback, or Spencer Rattler later on or something. So I do think they are going to get aggressive and whatnot, but we don't know what's going to happen at this point. And anybody who says they know what's going to happen is absolutely lying to you, because they don't know what's going to happen.
The Raiders aren't jumping in front of anything except the bus that's going to proverbially run them over every season. You have to get one of those 4 to win a Super Bowl?
I think they have to get one of those 4 to walk away from this job saying they shot their shot. If I'm KOC and Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, and I have decided either Drake May or J.J. McCarthy is the guy I want to run my offense, then I'm going to do what I can to go get one of those 2 dudes.
That's what they should do. If they're completely set on that, that's what they should do.
Is that what they've decided on? I don't know. I mean, I'm just assuming that that's what the deal is based on everything I've read so far. And you're going to hitch your wagon to one of those 2 guys based on what you've looked at on tape, what you've done in interview rooms, talking to them face-to-face, how you feel about those 2 guys. And if it works, then you've got a job in Minnesota for a while. And if it doesn't, then you can, you know, when you're cleaning out your desk, you can say to yourself, you know what, I did it my way, and I didn't settle for a guy that probably didn't work out either. So at least I've learned what worked in this job, and I learned what didn't work. And if I ever get an opportunity to be a head coach or a GM again, I can take these lessons learned and be better the second time around. You don't get a whole lot of opportunities to be a head coach in the NFL. I mean, maybe they will again. I hope they're both around for a long time and they win multiple championships with the Vikings. That's my belief. But you got to shoot your shot. You got to do it the way you want to do it. If that's the guy they think, then they have got to go after their guy.
I do kind of wonder. I saw, I believe it was an article from Bill Barnwell on ESPN, and he's talking about what the optimum strategy for each pick in the first round is based on who has it. And he kind of suggests, and I wonder if this is true, if the Vikings don't already have some handshake deals in place behind the scenes with some of these teams, like they've already gone to Arizona and been like, hey guys, okay, so if J.J. McCarthy is there at 4, we'll give you this, this, and this in order to trade up. I'd almost think they would have to have something like that in place. They might have it in deal with Arizona in place. They might have to deal with the Chargers. They might have something with both, depending on who falls, because Arizona could be like, no, we're taking Marvin Harrison Jr. at 4, and we're going to be happy with that and whatever. And they've got to have some kind of deal, and they've got to have a contingency plan, and they've got to have an emergency plan. I would be stunned if they didn't have all these different scenarios sketched out already, so that when we get to draft night, and you know, if you got to assume that quarterbacks are the first 3 picks off the board, they're going to be like, okay, we're at number 4, and this is what we're going to do to secure our guy. So like Ted says, if it works out, great, and if it doesn't work out, well, you did what you thought was the right thing for this team in order to get them to where you wanted to get them to. So I do wonder how many of these contingency plans the Vikings have in place already.
I firmly believe the Vikings already have a deal with either Arizona or the Chargers that, hey, if the board falls this way at 4, we're going to call you and we're going to offer this, this, and this. Are you guys on board? Yeah, okay. If that's what the board shows, yes.
Vikings never leave you assured, but that does make me feel better if they have a plan A. I want them to have a plan A, B, C, D, whatever.
Be like Francis Albert Sinatra. I did it my way.
My way.
Or Fleetwood and Mac in this case.
Go your own way. So, like, Drew, you mentioned the $105 million of cap space. You asked me, hey, look at all the free agents the Vikings will have. Let's talk about that. We're not going to mention them all because they have, like, 37 free agents. But they have a few key ones, to include Byron Murphy, Harrison Phillips, Cam Bynum, Christian Darrisaw, David Questenberry, the 2 quarterbacks, Sam Darnold, Nick Mullins, Aaron Jones, and Justin Jefferson. And we cannot forget the great Abraham Gustav Touton Beauregard Beauplan the Fourth Esquire.
We got to keep him.
So look, they got a lot of free agents. A lot of these guys are not even going to make the roster this year, but they have, I would argue, three really important free agents in Darrisaw, Justin Jefferson, and I would throw Harrison Phillips. Let's say four, Cam Bynum in there. With $105 million in cap space, they're going to have to do extensions. You look at the salaries on some of the guys in 2025. You got like Brian O'Neill. You could redo those deals. The Vikings are going to have a ton of cap space. They're going to be able to work deals for all these guys, and they're going to be able to fill the roster and complete it and get depth guys. And I'm on board with you saying that 2025, man, if they can nail this quarterback pick and develop that guy, I think 2025 is going to be the year. It really feels like 2025 is going to be the year if they can get this quarterback pick right.
I think so, too. And that's Absolutely. Why we talked about it earlier in the day. What topic do you want to talk about? Let's talk about that, because a lot of people are just looking at this year, which, you know, we should look at this year first, but next year looks like a whole hell of a lot of fun for me, man.
Heck yeah.
Especially if we get our quarterback, then whether he starts or not doesn't matter, because 2025 is what you're really looking at. I agree with the guys you said in free agency for the Vikings next year. We got to keep Darrisaw, but I would probably, seeing how it goes with Darnold this year, even if he's not going to start next year, with a new quarterback coming in and working with him all year, I might try to carry that guy over to be a mentor or a backup quarterback to keep him on. But, you know, by week six, he could have 12 interceptions and we're running him out of town. So I don't know.
I think that's one of the reasons they brought Sam Darnold in, to be quite honest. I mean, right. Plus you've got Josh McCown as his quarterback coach. So McCown was the veteran when Darnold got drafted by the Jets. And now Darnold is the guy to help navigate this new quarterback in Minnesota and say, hey, look, man, I've been there. Now, Minnesota isn't New York in terms of media pressure and everything else, but he's going to be undergoing the same type of pressure as in when now. He's only going to have like 10 microphones in his face as opposed to 75 or 80 like Darnold got in New York, and he's going to have a lot better weapons around him. But Darnold